Nancy, Long Island.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for calling.
First time call. I just wanted to mention, I don't know if you brought it up, Lassie was a boy.
Yeah, AJ just mentioned that. That's funny.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'm driving to work, so right. I figured I would just call and just let you know that AJ, Lassie was a boy, which when I found out, I was in a deep depression.
Really?
Yes. Well,
why?
Obviously the fur covered, all the goods.
Yeah.
But we thought Lassie, doesn't Lassie sound like Lassie the girl?
Well, Lassie goes to be
a girl. Oh, it was supposed to be a girl, and they would say, here, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is a girl?
Yeah. And also, I also want to just mention one thing really fast. I have a dog, and whenever he comes to me and he's looking at me, I always go, what's the trouble? Is Lassie in the well? I mean, did Timmy fall in the well?
Right, it was Timmy. It was always Timmy was the trouble.
He's always in the well. I've never seen him in any other problems except for the well.
Timmy was a tea bag.
But anyway, no, whatever. I'm just.
Hi, everyone.
You took my call. I sit here every morning waiting to go to work. And just so you know, my name is Nancy, and I will be calling back. What are your 10 questions today? Or you don't have to know yet.
The top ten.
I have to be in work by the time you get.
Do you have any coffee?
What?
Good stuff, too.
Do you have any coffee?
Am I drinking coffee?
Yeah.
I'm on my third cup of espresso.
Okay. Wow. This all makes sense now.
Yep.
Damn.
Come on, dudes. I work as a private chef.
Oh, good for you.
Nice.
A celebrity.
Oh, you can't tell us who?
I can, because I don't have a disclosure about the name, just where they live.
Okay, who is it?
Kelly Ripa.
Holy nice. Crap.
That's cool.
Regis and...
Well, yeah, hell yeah. Really,
yeah, we
she
know.
Eats?
Kelly.
What do you prepare? An olive for lunch?
No. Let me tell you something. She's a chow hound.
Really?
Yeah, no, but they eat really good food, and I cook really, really good food. But you know what everybody wants? Home cooking. They want, like, meatloaf. They want
comfort food. Comfort food.
Yeah, they go out. They can have whatever the hell they want. But anyway, so I'm sitting outside their house right now. I don't start till 6:30. So by the time I get in there, I already missed 5 of the 10 questions, and I'm always pissed off.
Wow. Kelly Ripa's like, why is our cook always mad?
I'm very hyperactive. I know. When I walk in, they're like, I have to be very quiet because kids are sleeping. But, they love the meat. They love meatloaf. They love mashed potatoes.
Maybe the three espressos on the way in was in the way to go then.
Let me tell you something. I just stopped right here at Starbucks and got another one, and I take it into work.
Oh, my God.
Explode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you got to calm that down.
No, I'm really, I'm super hyperactive. I know it.
You're redlining already.
I know.
Warning, Will Robinson. Warning.
We've learned your whole life story in about 97 seconds.
You were just talking about Lost in Space. Man, that show. I mean, come on. Did we have robots back then? No. That was like the thing.
Right. It was advanced. And now look at us.
It was so cool. It was so cool. But anyway, I'll let you guys go. But I just want to say, I'm going to be calling back again.
Good.
And I'm going to let you know what they're going to be having for dinner. Okay?
All right. Call us every day.
I most certainly will.
I'm going to play this.
Your phone number. I didn't realize I could. And just so you know, my name is Nancy, but I go by, what's that guy, that other guy that's got that weird name? I go by Nanabelle.
That's what
they call me at work. Nanabelle.
Nanabelle, that's great. I like it.
Nanabelle. So I have a different name than Nancy. You'll know who it is. It's the nut.
All right, Nanabelle.
Nuts. Shut up.
I'm playing this song for you.
Thank you. I've been on so long, you're playing a song. Yeah. Play me a good song. Thank you, guys.
I'm playing you an appropriate song. Crazy Train.
Are you playing Crazy Train?
For you.
Get out of here. That's my favorite song.
All right, get off the phone and listen to the radio.
All right. I want to hear it.
All right, thank you for calling.
I love you guys.
99.1 PLR. Let's count them down. The Chaz and AJ Window Nation Top 10.
All right, it is Top 10 Halloween Accidents and Injuries. 203-882-9757. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus, and author of the book Surviving the Emergency Room, doing the list. Paulingford.
Morning, guys. Happy Monday.
Morning.
How about falls?
Yeah, falls is on the list. You know, it's the number two on the list for, you know, tripping. People get fractures and sprains. They're walking around in the dark and tripping over their costumes. So we always get a couple, you know, sprained ankles, sometimes a broken ankle, sometimes other bumps and abrasions as well from falls. Yeah, it's the number two on the list.
Cool, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
A little too much punch. Boom.
Yeah, that has to be an item on the list. Alcohol?
Yeah, you know, the alcohol, I didn't add to the list this time, but it's always with any kind of festivities. It's always, alcohol is usually every day. There's something going on. So I didn't have it on my list this time, but alcohol is definitely, you know, always a contributor to injuries.
But Jack alone.
Mushmouth.
Oh, hey, Grand Tribe. How about a kid's costume getting caught on fire?
Yeah, that's on the list. That's our number five on the list, believe it or not.
You said burns, kids, right?
Burns from candles or flammable costumes. We always have a couple. We actually had a witch a few years ago that caught on fire. Sometimes the material in the costumes can be flammable. So, we've had burns in the past, either from the costumes catching on fire or the candles and jack-o'-lanterns and that kind of thing, giving injuries and burns. Yes, it's on the list.
We did a story one year of a guy who wrapped himself up in bandages to be a mummy.
Yeah.
Not a good idea when there's lots of candles around.
Yeah, you have to do a flame lock.
He did not have a good result.
Yeah, you know? That is not good. If those are flammable, that's a problem.
Aaronette.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
How about if somebody, like, chokes on candy?
Yeah, that's the number three on the list is choking on candy, particularly the hard candies that some kids are eating or adults. And, it's on the list. It's number three. We always have a few over the years of choking incidents that happen.
Yeah, chew your Snickers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaronette. Are you dressing up for Halloween, Aaronette?
No, I don't celebrate Halloween.
Oh, you don't?
Nope. I want to tell this.
Okay. All right, gotcha. All right. Well,
thank you, guys.
Have a great day.
You too.
She's like, she's out of here.
Yeah, she should dress up like a Mormon just to switch it up on Halloween. You
know? Right.
Top 10 Halloween accidents and injuries. Brain.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Morning, Doc.
What happened to you?
How about cuts and bruises from walking through a glass door?
Yeah, well, if you've done that, you know, I did have that on my list for hand lacerations from cutting pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns and carving pumpkins and that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's always lacerations on Halloween as well.
All right, later.
Brain, have you walked through a sliding glass door?
I actually, years ago at a party, I actually walked right through a door and a screen.
Nice.
I've walked through a screen before, but not a glass door.
Yeah, I had the glass in it and the screen, and I walked up the porch and it pushed right through it because you didn't even know it was there because you get blinded by the light. You thought there was an open doorway, and it wasn't.
And you walked right through
it. Clean.
Right through it.
Whoa.
Nice.
And got a planter on the other side, everything.
Wow.
And that's a problem.
Like a costume.
Yeah.
Yep. How you bleed like that.
Yeah, a lot of times with the lacerations, too, from glass, the problem is I have to explore the wound to make sure you don't have little pieces of glass inside whatever cut you have. Yeah, that can be a problem. You never want to sew. Like when we're suturing, I always wash it out, but I always probe it, too, just to make sure there's not shards of glass inside there.
Oh, put me out.
That's a problem.
You get in there with a little vacuum cleaner?
I use a probe. I use like a Kelly clamp to kind of touch through the wound to make sure there's no glass in there. Yeah. Generally, like I like you to get cut from like a knife or something because, broken glass from glass tables, glass doors, like he's talking about where there's shards, there's always a chance a little chunk of it's going to be stuck in the wound. That's a problem.
Okay, so go for getting knives. Gotcha.
Will you excuse me a second? I have to explore your wound.
Yeah,
exactly. Just put me out, man.
Me out. Dr. Ron Clark is on, doing the list of top 10 Halloween accidents and injuries. Hungry man.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Hey, how about getting hit by a car? You know, the kids are out in the street.
Yeah, that's the number four on the list. So actually, believe it or not, you know, for kids, one of the most deadly nights for kids is Halloween, is pedestrian versus car. We it's not often, but we've had some over the years with just kids getting hit. It's dark. The people who are driving home from work or wherever they're coming home from, you know, can hit the kids that are walking on the side of the road, especially when it's dark. So yeah, they can sometimes get major trauma with head trauma and other things. So yeah, that's the number four on the list: pedestrian versus car.
Thank you, Hunger Man. Top 10 Halloween accidents and injuries. Before we go through what we got, Dr. Ron Clark, whose idea was it for this list?
So this list was Tyler Mario and Laura Mario's list. They were sitting next to me and suggested, they saw me working. I'm always working on these lists when Chaz asked me to give them. And I said, I need an idea for this month. And they said, yeah, let's do top 10 Halloween injuries. So that's how the list came about.
Tyler at Brooklawn Country Club, thank you for listening. What did we get so far?
So we have hand lacerations, fractures and sprains from tripping, choking on candy, the pedestrian versus vehicle accidents, and burns either from flammable costumes or from candles in the jack-o'-lanterns.
Oof. Hank in Southington.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
My good guess was taken, but how about diabetic issues?
Yeah, diabetes. That's on the list. That's the number nine. We're doing great today. So hyperglycemia, diabetic issues, diabetics who eat too much candy and get high sugar, and then, you know, some other people get abdominal pain and vomiting from eating too much candy. But yeah, it's on the list. It's the number nine, the hyperglycemia.
Have you had someone come in with stomach pain just because they ate too much candy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's an adult.
That is every year.
Every year,
there's people that come in. There's the diabetics, like he mentioned, that are going to come in because, you know, it's their one day to kind of splurge and they're not paying attention. They're eating too much sugar and then their sugar goes sky high. And then there's another group of people that don't have diabetes that just eat way too much. Way too much candy.
The gluttons, yeah.
Peanut butter cups and everything else.
Right, they have a tummy ache.
Mm.
Yep. You get the abdominal pain and vomiting and just feeling generalized unwell.
I do that with pizza, but not candy.
I'm a big pizza eater, too, and I eat way too much, including last night.
Jim in Beacon Falls.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
Morning.
Good morning. Somebody took mine off, so I was all about the burns. But how about eye injuries?
Yeah, you know, it's on the list. You guys are doing great. I mean, that's number six on the list. So believe it or not, you know, the kids with their costumes, they have their swords and their wands and their glow sticks and different things. And almost every year, someone will come in that gets poked in the eye. They get a corneal abrasion. They got to come in and they got to put some stain in their eye to take a look and see if their cornea is scratched or not. We have a special dye called fluorescein that allows me to stain their eye to see if they scraped it. Like, if you just get poked in the eye, as long as there's not a corneal abrasion, you're usually okay. But if you get a corneal abrasion, you generally need an antibiotic ointment called erythromycin to make it heal faster so it doesn't get infected.
Oh. Now you're a pirate.
Now you need a pirate patch. Yep.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Good job. Pat in Guilford.
Hey, morning, guys. Did anybody say pumpkin carving at Vince?
Yeah, that's the number one on the list. So we had hand lacerations from pumpkin carving. That happens every year. We're going to stitch up probably two or three people on Halloween for finger injuries, lacerations to their hand or palm.
Hey, thank you, Pat. What's the worst one you've seen in your career?
So from lacerations?
Yeah, pumpkin carving.
So we've had some pretty bad ones where people cut most of their finger off. You know, where they're slicing it. And again, a lot of times, especially a big pumpkin that's thick, they're stabbing. And if they're not paying attention, they're talking to somebody. Maybe, as you said before, a little alcohol's involved. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you see your pinky just kind of dangling, those kinds of things. It happens a lot. I mean, lacerations are quick. It's one moment where you made a quick mistake or you were careless or you weren't paying attention, and all of a sudden you look down and, you know, your hand's full of blood. That happens. We have hand lacerations literally every day, but on Halloween or on certain, you know, same with like Thanksgiving when people are carving turkeys.
Same thing.
You're talking to somebody, you're slicing something, and all of a sudden they look, they usually tell you, hey, Chaz, you know, you got blood all over your food. What happened? And then you look down and your finger is hanging off.
Yeah, because the thing is so sharp you don't even realize you cut yourself.
Yeah. It's usually guys. They usually come in embarrassed and their hands all wrapped up, usually with a like a paper towel or something and tape, and they're just trying to hold it together. And then they usually say, hey, Doc, this is pretty bad. And then I'm in there stitching for an hour.
Have you ever had anyone who had their hand go in a meat grinder?
Yes, that's happened multiple times, really? And that's not pretty. Then it gets all chewed up and
get patty out of it.
Yeah, I've had that actually multiple patients with meat grinders. I had a guy who jumped off a pickup truck, and when he, you know, when you jump up, you just kind of flay your arms out just to land, and his finger got stuck on his truck on the ring of his finger, and it popped his finger off.
Oh.
It literally took it off at the first knuckle, so at the we call the PIP joint, your proximal interphalangeal joint. And so he had the rest of his finger plus the entire tendon that attaches to his elbow that he brought in a bag. That was a long time ago, and I still remember it today.
Yeah, that's one that's a keeper in the memory banks.
Yeah, trick or treat!
I said, what's the ribbon thing that's attached to the finger? And then in a second, I realized that was his tendon that goes from his finger all the way down to his elbow that ripped off.
Ah.
That's a problem.
I'm not a doctor.
Doc, you're so smart and you have great stories, but you make me queasy every single time you call in.
Yeah, this is not,
damn,
you know.
Man.
Yeah. These are.
Well, I asked.
I love to know it. I just, like, in the moment.
I asked.
Yeah.
Emma?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to go with allergic reactions.
Yeah, that's on the list, too. That's the number 7. So we have allergic reactions to a bunch of different things. Face paint, latex masks, unknown food that kids are given. So, it's on the list. And, again, for allergic reactions, depending on how bad it is, there's a bunch of things that I can do. I can give Benadryl for the itchiness. I can give Pepcid that makes the Benadryl work better. We give steroids, something called prednisone or solumedrol. And if they're really sick from allergic reactions and they have tongue swelling or trouble breathing, then we can give them an epi shot. So, yeah, allergic reactions is number 7 on the list.
Wow. Emma, thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All right, we are ready to wrap it up.
All right, so we'll go through the list, and we got 8 of the 10. We did very well today. So number 1 was the hand lacerations from cutting pumpkins or carving the jack-o'-lantern. Number 2 is fractures and sprains from tripping over costumes walking in the dark. Number 3 is choking on candy. Number 4 is pedestrian versus vehicle accidents, which can be a major trauma. Number 5 was burns from candles, from jack-o'-lanterns, or flammable costumes. Number 6 is eye injuries from swords, wands, and glow sticks. Number 7 was the allergic reactions from face paint, latex masks, or unknown food. Number 8 was dental trauma from chipped teeth from eating hard candy.
Oh my God.
Number 9 was the high blood sugar, the diabetic ketoacidosis, and abdominal pain and vomiting from eating too much candy. And number 10 is dog bites from scared pets when people come to the door. And that happens most years, too, where some dog is going to nip at one of the kids.
Thank you, Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus, and author of the book, and everyone should have this book in their house, Surviving the Emergency Room. Thank you, Doc.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Oh, boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
All right, here we go.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
Look, kids, it's AJ.
Hey, kids, run to the white light. The white light wants you. Fine.
A man makes music by squeezing his chickens. Let's go to the audio. There's a bunch of rubber chickens in front of him.
I was going to say, these are some talented chickens so far.
Yeah, a lot of chickens, yeah. Would he mic his underwear? Sure, blame the chickens.
This reminds me of the Christmas show.
This is live, by the way. Like, he's in real time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's squeezing the chickens, yep.
Get that part.
No.
I could watch this video all day. Oh, yeah.
More Pour that chicken. Pour that chicken to me.
That was impressive.
Where's this guy from? Ruth, can you track him down?
Someplace with a lot of time.
Oh, my God. If we can get him at the toy drive.
Nice.
If we can't get him at the toy drive, can't we get someone who could do that?
Maybe, unbelievable.
Maybe not as well. Vince, that's inquire. Your job.
I have just one. I can't make tones with it, though. I just get the one sound.
Yeah, you need a baritone chicken.
Try to play along with him.
Oh, no.
All right.
This will be good.
I apologize in advance.
And what is this guy's... What's his handle on TikTok? Do we know?
I don't know.
Mm. I got a chicken, too.
Hey, Phil, you're doing it.
I don't know.
Nice chicken.
AJ's going to tell him what's me, what's AJ.
AJ, which one's your chicken? Let's hear your chicken.
My only, like, clucks, like, half the time. They're like asthmatic chicken. His chicken's broken.
You got a broken chicken.
I got a broken chicken.
This guy is talented. Yeah. That's talent. I will call that talent.
So
that's awesome.
Soon as so Jennifer sends this over to me. And then she
says, you first, huh?
I got to watch what I send over to you because everyone's on your TikTok, right? Ruth is on it. AJ's on it. I'm like... This isn't dirty.
No.
The guy squeezing his chickens.
Right, he's fully dressed.
Yeah, he's fully dressed. So he's in a tuxedo while he's doing this, and the chickens are all on a string in front of him, kind of like hanging meat. And then there's another video. I don't know if it was him, but a guy in a Darth Vader costume.
Yes. Oh, interesting.
I saw that one, yeah.
Yeah.
He seems to dress up in the tux. In all of his videos, from what I can tell.
All right, so it's a different chicken squeezer.
He calls it...
the local chicken squeezer.
He calls himself the father of Brazilian classical music, and he goes by Lord Vinhetero.
Oh, I know that guy.
You really?
He's a YouTuber. He plays he gets like a fishing reel, and he puts it on a guitar, and he like turns it and plays the Godfather theme with the fishing reel.
Oh, that I don't... I just see the chickens here, but he's got...
He's got a big following.
He does. This is System of a Down he's playing.
That's great.
He's running a speedo where he squeezes himself.
That's a pig, by the way.
And ladies, he's single. Teachers say it wouldn't do anything.
That's impressive.
That's a nice long tone.
Damn.
It sounds like I jumped off the Eiffel Tower.
Right. You put that sound with that video. There we go. That's Ruth's job for later.
All right, Vince, that's your...
All right.
Start practicing.
This is Friday night. It's the biggest, most attended Chaz and AJ Monsters Ball in the history of the Monsters Ball.
Wow.
Thanks to Legends of Fear and, of course, Illicit Brewing.
They were awesome.
And Shameless.
Awesome. Great job.
Doing a great job. And thank you for coming and wearing cool costumes and being lots of fun. That was the fastest. Like, I felt like I walked in, I blinked, and it was over. I'm like, no, I don't want it to be over.
Yeah. It did move fast, yeah.
And with all the people, how many people do you think was in Illicit? Would you say 500, 600, 700? I don't know. They have an 800-person capacity, and by the time we were leaving, there was a line down the parking lot that you couldn't even see the end of.
Wow. I could not believe the amount of people that were coming in, yeah.
Which means there were 800 in the building. And you didn't really have to wait for drinks. It was, a couple minutes, whatever, but... I was like, well, they moved this pretty fast.
They did. There were two other big rooms that I didn't even really walk into most of the night. And at the end, I was like, oh, my God, there's so many more people in here.
Right.
It's like, this is why every time I was turning around, I was seeing someone new.
It was just 10 on a 10 scale. And congratulations to Lindsay for winning. Ruth, you were saying that she's been like a finalist for a long time, many years?
8 times. Is that correct? Wow.
Yes, Lindsay? That is correct.
8 wow. times.
Yeah, even more than me.
So Ruth, before she started working here on the morning show, used to come to the Monsters Ball every year in these amazing costumes.
She came to win.
And she came to win.
And I did not.
We should make a collage of all your different costumes.
Wow.
And she got up on stage as a finalist many, many years, never won. And same with Lindsay. So you two probably have been on the stage together at previous Monsters Balls, right?
Yep, many times.
And right. 8 years, 8 times you've been a finalist and you finally won.
Yes.
It was that Batwing costume.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know what? She also didn't really unveil it until she got up on stage, which was cool. She was sort of like, yeah, I'm a bat. I look great. Thank you. And then she got on stage and was like, and now here are the wings. The crowd fell into that. That was cool.
It's like being a guy in summer.
So what are you going to do with the money?
I have bills to pay this year. So nothing fun, unfortunately. That's the way things are going for me right now. But it was very well timed, let's just say that.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the event?
Oh, it was tons of fun. The one thing that surprised me, I mean, there were two things that surprised me, but the first was that I walked in and there were people with kids in strollers. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that at a Monsters Ball before, but they cleared out.
Yeah.
And then all the dude bros in plain clothes everywhere kind of shocked me. There was some other event going on and there were just so many college-aged boys everywhere. I was like, This is an interesting Monsters Ball for sure. But the venue was awesome. The people were awesome working too. And the crowd, as always, is so supportive. I took pictures with hundreds of people. Probably a good chunk of the 800 people that were there wanted pictures. So my arms are very sore, but it was worth it.
Yeah, I'm glad you won. I'm really glad you won.
Thank you.
Thanks for supporting. So many years coming out to the party. You know, it's one of my favorite events, you know, that and the toy drive, because there's so much love in the room. We all get together and hang out. It's like a family function. Mm. And man, I'm glad you finally won. We could check this off the list now.
Definitely.
What were some of the costumes that you saw and thought, oh, they might get me?
Competition.
I was rooting for... the Audrey 2 and Oren, the dentist from Little Shop of Horrors, because I know those people were Kevin and Mr. Fredrickson from Up last year, and I know she laid every single one of those feathers by hand, so I know she made the Audrey 2 by hand, and I was like, okay. So if I had to lose to someone, at least it's someone else that I know also spent months and months and months on their costume.
Yeah, not
so I thought
costume.
They might have had me. But
what is there a year that you could remember that you lost to someone who you shouldn't have lost to?
My most infamous year is the year that I lost to the 10 people that were dressed up as Toy Story because I was the peacock that year and they came in very late. And I believe parts of their costumes may have been homemade. I don't really think so. I think they rented some of the mascot suits.
Yep.
And just because there were 10 of them, they won. And I was like, man, I spent 2 years on this costume. It was right after COVID, so I had worked on it through that because you guys didn't have one that year. And I was like, I have a tail. I have millions of people taking pictures with me all night. And these people walked in last minute and took it. So that was my year that I was shocked.
Well, if they won $1,000, it was $100 each. So
yeah. Exactly. I'm like, what is even the point? There's 10 of you. There's one of me.
That was the year we're like, we got to do group and individual.
Yeah, that's the year we figured out that we need to split it. Yeah. So, all right, Lindsay, congratulations. Thank you.
Well earned.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job.
They're still going nuts in West Hartford over this rotary. The rotary?
Rotary.
They did a dumb design, and no one can figure out how to use it now. People are driving straight through it, AJ.
Oh, God.
Just right over it.
They didn't
put... the first time you've ever seen one.
You know, when you build a rotary, you build a centerpiece.
Yeah.
So you can't drive straight through it. And they didn't do that. People are driving straight through. And the town engineer is, like, blaming people. They made a video, like, this is how you're supposed to use it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, why don't you make a video, this is how you're supposed to build it?
Right. Put spike strips on it.
There's a reporter with NBC Connecticut who's doing a really good job doing, like, lots of videos on it. We're going to try to get him on? Yeah. I like it.
He's trapped in a rotary right now.
Can't answer.
I don't know how to get out of here.
Hey, look, kids. Big Ben.
Parliament. Big Ben. Parliament. Big Ben. Parliament. We reached out to the town engineer. He sent back a very nice email. Thanks, but no thanks.
Okay.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't come on this show if I did something that stupid.
Nope. No.
This is the first smart thing he's done in a while. Like, all right, I built a dumb rotary. No one knows how to go through it. I made a stupid video. And, now this radio show wants to talk to me. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stop with the radio show right there.
I'm starting to get it now.
Be over here. I'm starting to get it. Maybe I talk less.
I'm going to hide over here.
Can you imagine going to a party? You know, hey, so what do you do? Oh, I'm an engineer. Oh, really? For what? The town of West Hartford.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, have you tried the hot dogs over here?
How about the mail nurse? Yeah. I'm a mail nurse.
They're on a rotisserie.
Rotisserie. That'd have been a lot worse.
That's it. That's how, unless he builds the Eiffel friggin' tower, you know, like, this is how, this is your career.
His legacy.
Right.
This is your legacy.
This is his bad idea island.
This will be in his obituary.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's accurate.
Right.
Once, you know, he was the one who designed the rotary in West Hartford that had people smashing into each other.
Yes, that rotary.
The worst rotary in the U.S.
Right. There has to be rotary guidelines.
Yeah.
You know?
We didn't know that we needed that, but we do.
Just assume folks should pay attention and drive the way it's supposed to. Yes.
I'm not an engineer. Right. You all know that.
I'm less.
How to build a traffic rotary. Okay. ChatGPT. Okay.
Right.
Building a traffic rotary involves careful engineering, traffic flow design, and safety planning.
Okay,
here's a clear step-by-step. One, planning and site selection, preliminary design, choose the roundabout type, set key dimensions, geometric design, engineering and permitting, construction. Install curbing and islands.
That's what they didn't do.
Yeah, make it.
There's
make it
no
raised.
Island. Ba-da-ba-ba. I did this in how many seconds?
Right.
No engineering degree.
Yep, you're a new engineer now.
No, I live in West Hartford. I can tell you all of that pre-planning stuff up until construction, they don't do. They just rip up roads, and they're like, you know what? This is going to be closed for 3 weeks. There's, like, no rhyme or reason.
And why wouldn't you, like, say, hey, before we do this, why don't we get in a car and drive through some of the rotaries in Connecticut and see what they all have in common?
We can make a list of the things we like that we want to incorporate, the things that work well.
Shrubbery in the middle, like there's some nice things you can do.
You gotta put concrete
in the middle.
You gotta put something big and cementy in the middle so people don't drive straight through. And they didn't do that. They made the rotary too small,
way too small.
And so you can't put something cementy in the middle.
Big and cementy, I love it.
Big and cementy.
That's all technical terms.
But because the rotary's not big enough, bigger cars and buses and stuff are having trouble actually managing going around the curve of the rotary. The whole thing is just, it needs to be torn up and rebuilt.
Well, they designed it that way so those bigger vehicles can drive straight through. But now you have this random, you could drive straight through, but you and minivan can't.
Right.
And people don't know what to do. They're driving straight through. Sometimes they're taking lefts and they're cutting traffic off and almost having head-on collisions. And, you know, the strategy here shouldn't be duck and cover. You know, it should be, let me go out and talk about this and let's make an announcement that we figured it out and we're going to fix it.
The
that
solution
should have been done last week.
The town engineer is going to stand there and direct traffic for everybody.
Yeah, that should be it. If you screw up that bad, now you got to stand out there and direct traffic.
I would think of it, if you have a body shop, put your sign over there.
Yes, right in the middle.
That is a good place for a body shop sign.
Have an accident?
AJ, have you seen this? They did all of the things you're not supposed to do with a rotary.
Yeah, I saw it. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's... Like, and I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know anything about this, but I looked at it, I'm like, okay, that's bad.
You figured it out.
Yeah. All right, let's see. We want to talk about some good news here. This is such a fun story out of Connecticut.
Oh, cool. We got it.
She had a catastrophe and ended up winning third place on America's Funniest Videos. She's from Middletown, Connecticut. Debbie Shapiro, good morning.
Good morning, and how are all of you this morning?
We're excellent. Congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I think you should have won first, but third is fine.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think we should have, too.
They always...
But everybody always thinks they should win first, right?
Yeah, I know. Yes. I never... I mean,
the Yankees thought they should have won first.
All
right.
Right? Okay, Debbie.
I just rub it.
Still a sore
Don't
spot.
Be Debbie Downer.
Another catastrophe.
So explain what happened in the video.
Oh, well, my daughter, who lives next door, has four cats. And this particular cat, Ringo, just loved to be outdoors. And the cat, it wanted to be outdoors so much that if they left a window ajar, it would rip the screens out and get out of the house. And even from the second floor, it jumped out from the second floor. And one day it ripped out the accordion that you pull out when you put an air conditioner in the window.
Yeah.
It ripped that out and jumped out the window. So she had on his collar a tag so that he was clearly identified, because he just liked being out making his rounds around the neighborhood. The neighbors all loved him. They would let him in, give him some treats, and then he'd be on his way. And so this was a couple days before Christmas. He came to my house and came walking in, and he didn't have a collar on. So that concerned me because he was even known to jump into the van of the UPS driver, and the driver was a couple miles away when he realized this cat was in his van. So fortunately, he had his collar on, and he called and brought the cat back. So when he came in my house with no collar, I was quite concerned. I called my daughter. I said, what do you want me to do with him? Because I didn't want him in my house, because I have two cats, and they didn't know this cat, so I didn't want any fighting going on. So she said, take him back home and put him in the house. So I'm going up the hill to get to her house, and this cat's like 18 pounds, and he's like wiggling. And then I get to the door, and I'm trying to get the key in. And then all of a sudden, this voice comes out at me, and it's my son-in-law, and it made the cat jump out of my arms. And that's where the video started.
Then what happened?
Oh, well, he started talking to me, and he wants to know what I'm doing. And I'm like, I'm trying to get your cat in the house. And he says, what for? I said, because he has no collar. And by this time, I'm mystified. And I said, how do you even know I'm here? And he goes, it's my Ring camera. I thought that thing was just a doorbell. I mean, I didn't know.
Thank God you know now. So adjusting yourself.
I didn't know it did all these other things. And then he started... so that I, you know, how do you know I'm here? And he starts laughing at me, and I explained what I was doing, and he starts laughing more, and I went, are you laughing at me? And he goes, yes. I said, well, you better not be laughing at me, because you don't know how much it hurt to get that cat up the hill.
So,
when my daughter saw it, she thought it was so funny. And she asked me, can I show this to my friends? I said, yeah, you can show it to my friends. And so they all said, oh, you have to send it to America's Funniest Videos. And she did. And then she got a call and another call and another call. And by that time, she figured that meant it was a finalist. And it was. So I don't know. I've always been pretty good at laughing at myself. I mean, you got to laugh at yourself.
That's,
I mean,
the key.
Life's too short to go through glum. You
exactly.
Know?
Exactly. All right. Here's some audio from that video.
No.
What are you doing, Miss Shapiro?
I'm trying to get your cat in the house.
What? Leave him. What are you doing? For what? Why are you trying to get in the house?
He's gone. Cat's gone.
Let him stay outside. What are you doing?
You made me drop it when you started talking to me.
Why do you need to put him in the house? I don't understand.
Because he doesn't have a collar. He came in my house with no collar, and I called Sarah, and she said to put him in. And I struggled to get up the hill. And now he's out.
That's fine. Leave him out.
What the hell? How do you even know I'm here?
Because my Ring camera told me.
All right, so now your cat is out with no collar.
It'll be fine, Debbie.
Okay, bye.
After all that work.
Oh, my God, lady.
Are you laughing at me?
I am.
Are you laughing at me?
I am, Debbie. I am.
You better not be laughing at me, because you don't know how much it hurt to carry that cat up the hill.
Hold on, lady. All right, good day.
Yeah, no time.
Good day.
Oh, that is great.
Classic.
Good day.
Well, at least my son-in-law is respectful. He calls me Mrs. Shapiro.
Yes.
Right.
That is hysterical video. And congratulations. And after all that work, the cat's just out of there.
Yep. Still hasn't come back.
It was fighting you, although you could hear it yelling at you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that noise.
Yeah.
It's
an
angry cat.
Not happy. Not happy. It wants to be out socializing and snacking.
This is my social time.
Yeah. Right, you're in the way, lady.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Debbie Shapiro from Middletown, thanks for coming on. Congratulations, taking third place on America's Funniest Videos. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy.
All right. Good day.
Can I say one last thing?
Sure.
Can I say one last thing?
Yeah.
Well, my late husband's cousin, Donna Goodman, was the sales manager for WPLR for many, many years.
Donna was the sales manager when I started here in 86.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yes, I was going to say started in the late 70s and went through the 80s and was the sales manager.
She was great.
So anyway, the family's had an association with WPLR for many years.
Oh, my God. God bless Donna, too. She was great.
Yes, yeah, she was. She was such a love.
She was some sales manager.
Yes, yeah, she was.
I mean, she
would
text us happy anniversary. She would text us great job. You know,
oh, nice.
She did sales manager things.
Yeah. She did. She did.
Well, thank you very much. We have a skeptic.
Yep.
Let's do it. Chaz and AJ.
Hello. I hear you guys talking about ghosts and all this nonsense all the time. The fact is, there's no scientific...
I'm sorry. Hold on. I need to tell everybody that the person who knows all the facts is on the phone. So we need to listen to this guy. Go ahead. Because you know everything, and no one can have another opinion. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that's what people that believe in ghosts believe, that no one else can have another opinion. Because they're pseudoscientists. They don't look for the real causes of what they think is evidence. Like when they think they detected thermal heat somewhere, it's not caused by a ghost. It's caused by something else. They don't bother to have the evidence analyzed. It's a pseudoscience. Pseudo meaning false or not genuine. They don't use scientific methods to try to figure out what they're really looking at.
Why do you care enough to call in?
Well, because you have these people talking about ghosts all the time.
Well, we generally do in October as we approach Halloween because it's fun.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Do you not like to have fun?
Well, sometimes you should talk about it. About the other side. Only 40% people believe in ghosts.
Okay. That sounds like it could be a real number. I'm not going to go look it up because I don't care enough. And I talk about ghosts because it's creepy. You know, there's this whole industry of like monster movies, horror movies. People love it.
And it is an exploration into the unknown.
The movies are okay.
But folks who are legitimate researchers are looking for that balanced perspective. And all of the bona fide parapsychologists are looking at and weighing other causes, just like miracles within the Catholic Church. I mean, there's a really arduous spectrum of tests that things have to pass before it's actually accepted as a very real, again, possibility.
If you walk into a party and people are having fun, do you like feel the need to ruin that? Is that who you are?
No, that's not who I am.
Okay. You don't sound like a good time.
For instance, I listen to the radio station all the time.
Thank you.
And I've heard some ridiculous stories on your show.
That's mostly me.
And you guys don't offer any skepticism. You just go,
that's us.
So I just like it.
I mean, I could tell you listen.
That's a good impression.
I'll just give you a quick example. Like 2 weeks ago, a guy called. He went to Dudleytown, the thing. I got into the forest. And it got so quiet, it was spooky, you know. It was quiet. And the reason it got quiet when he went there, because when the animals and insects sense that you're there, they stop making noise. That's the scientific reason.
Okay.
That's
scientific.
Why it was quiet.
All right.
All animals,
all insects cease to make noise when they sense
a
human.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever been outside at night? It's not necessarily quiet.
My backyard, when I'm raking, the birds are calling.
Yeah, when I run my backyard, you could hear the frogs making noise like crazy. I try to sneak up on them. When I got to like 20, 30 feet away, they all stopped.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, I've had that happen.
Marco Polo.
All the best scientists try and sneak up on frogs, so that's what I've heard.
Yeah. The Amityville horror story was a hoax. You could read all about it, how the owner of the house, George Lutz, made the whole thing up because he needed money. Look it up.
Well, those stories are often balanced. That's what's the story, the cover story that's put out afterwards to just defray the folks that are inundating those neighborhoods and, you know, clogging the roads and, you know, just terrorizing the community because of the crowds. They'll often say, someone did it for money. There's always they can always go back and blame something or somebody.
Paul, can I ask you something? If you're at a comedy show and a comedian's telling a story, do you say, wait a minute, you're exaggerating this story to get a better punchline? This isn't what really happened. What really happened is just a fraction of what you're saying.
You weren't in the car with your mother-in-law. Be honest.
Right. Why are you exaggerating this story to get a laugh?
Right. I mean, that's what Bart wants.
Scary movies, they exaggerate the truth. There is something about it that we all seem to like. Now, no one told us to be afraid or scared or uncomfortable in the dark, but we are. Yes. It's built in.
Yep.
Hard-wired. The other thing is, a lot of us don't want to believe that when you die, it's over. So why you got to come around and ruin it for us? I don't understand what makes you feel good doing that.
What makes you feel good?
Yeah. Do you feel good? You called in and you're like, you know, crapping on the bit. I'm just wondering, what do you get out of this? What, like when you walk away from this phone call, you're going to be like, yeah, I told them. We were having a good time. We're telling ghost stories. Like if there were a bunch of kids around a campfire telling ghost stories, you're going to come like kick dirt in the fire. Like, hey, what are you doing? This ghost don't, they're not real.
Put that campfire on the
sleep. Only 40% of people believe in ghosts.
Then he's going to tell them about pro wrestling and the Easter Bunny, too. He's going to be like, just
right.
Ruin everything.
Ruined it. Well, what do you tell kids about Santa Claus? Do you ruin that, too? Like,
my what's with Santa?
Yeah. Peter Pan, the Tooth Fairy.
It's really your parents.
Let's go through history and just ruin it all.
I thought you'd be more interested in hearing the other side of the story. How all the evidence, when it's checked by science.
Have you ever listened to this show and thought that we wanted real facts?
We've never said one.
Paul, come on. Even the dog says, yes, Paul. You know what the dog's saying? Get off the phone. You're making us all look like idiots.
Actually, the dog sees a ghost.
I'm kidding, Paul. I appreciate the call.
That's
right. There's two sides to every story.
That's right. Thank you.
Listen, talk some other time when you want to talk about it, not now.
Okay.
Because you had the woman on who was talking about conspiracies. And now she doesn't believe in conspiracies. And she didn't know anything. You were asking her questions. People were calling up. And she would just say,
I don't remember this person.
I don't believe in Bigfoot. That's all she said.
Yeah. I remember. Listen, all the guests aren't going to be great, okay? I mean, we try.
No offense, Michael.
Michael's great. He's great. He brought a pumpkin and everything.
He's like, I'm right here.
I was talking about Michael. I was talking about her. I think I remember that segment not going well.
Right.
You know, we're just trying, and we're just friends talking. And I'm sorry that bothers you. It's weird to me that it bothers you that you'd have to like come in and, you know, you could have sent me an email like, hey, if you ever want the other side, schedule me. And I would be happy to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Happy Halloween, Paul.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for
Oh, really? Thanks for calling.
Yeah. No.
All right. Bye.
All right. Goodbye.
I feel enlightened.
It's going to stand outside of Legends of Fear and be like, those are all plastic skeletons.
Right.
Come on.
It's all an act.
No, it's weird.
Yeah.
But it annoys him for some reason.
Yeah.
Now, if he just called and said, you guys are annoying, like, I get that.
Wait, we get his little time.
Like, 100%. Paul, I'm with you.
You again?
Totally.
Paul, stop calling here.
I totally get how, you know, you try going on and, like, conversing for 4 hours a day in public. 22 years here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a couple tribe members that are like, now we're not going to hear about the melon heads. Like, what the hell?
We're not going to hear about the melon heads.
Damn it. Thanks, Paul.
You know what we need to do, though? We need to set up Paul in a segment where the tribe calls in, like, hey, what about the melon heads?
Right.
And then Michael starts going into the melon heads, and he does like 30, 40 seconds on the melon heads. And then we give Paul 30 or 40 seconds to debunk it.
Okay. The rebuttal.
Like
point, counterpoint.
Yes.
Yeah.
You ever see a melon? It's not a bird. Like, I don't know. Why are we talking about melons?
Why are there no seeds around?
If you walk up to a melon, it won't make a sound.
You know, all heads are round.
You guys are out of your rhymes.
They get very quiet when you approach.
Now, melons you could sneak up on. They don't move when you sneak up on the melons.
Wouldn't you smell the melon after a couple of days when it rot?
There's a frog on the melon. The frog stops
frogging.
Yeah, he says frogging.
All right, here are the things we missed out on.
Okay.
Melon heads, Hookman's Cemetery in Seymour, Lindley Street, and the Annabelle doll. That's what we're doing.
And some calls of unknown origin here.
Yeah.
With other places.
But I'd rather have Paul call than just go away, you know?
Yeah.
This was entertaining in its own way. It wasn't planned.
It says peace.
I like when he started to define pseudo for us.
I can't spell it.
I just, you know, not that this work matters.
So. Oh, he's ripping up Michael's book.
No!
It's not Michael's book.
Never do that.
Yeah, this doesn't matter. Ruth worked all night on this. Okay, how about this one? Right. Thanks, Ruth.
It crumpled very well.
It did, though. Yeah.
Well, I love how when Paul's getting off, Michael goes, "Happy Halloween."
It was very blessed.
Always cordial. Always be cordial.
All right. Well, happy Halloween. Thanks for coming in, Michael.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Yeah.
I look forward to sitting down with Paul.
Which book do you want us to buy?
Oh, the newest book, Haunted Waterbury and the Naugatuck Valley. I go up and down the valley, follow the river, follow Route 8, full of mysterious, unsolved mysteries.
I think the next segment is you and Paul, and we start going through these stories.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you.